It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Wednesday, April 8th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Centers for Disease Control issued a report on teen pregnancies across the nation. KBNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
A national ranking was just released, and Colorado is looking good. The number of teen pregnancies is down. Greta Klinger is with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. She's in charge of family planning.
The CDC just released a report looking at contraceptive use among teens age 15 to 19 across the United States. And in this report, Colorado stands above all other states in the number of teens in the state using what they call long-acting reversible contraceptives, or IUDs, and contraceptive implants. And the reason the report focuses on those methods is because they are so much more effective than other contraceptive methods, like pills, patches, rings, condoms. And the reason they're so much more effective is they're kind of known as forgettable contraceptives. Once they're inserted, they're good for anywhere from 3 to 10 years, and you don't have to think about taking them or using them every day or every time you have sex. And so that room for user error gets taken away.
Because of that, says Klinger, they've seen much better results regarding teen pregnancy.
We started a program about 7 years ago to increase the use of these methods throughout the state. And during that same time, we've seen our teen birth rate plummet. And we've leapfrogged a number of states. When we first started the effort, we were ranked 29th in the country, and now we're ranked 19th. We're hopeful that if we're able to continue the same momentum and continue the work we've been doing, that in the next, say, 3 to 5 years, we would be in the top 10.
She says that because of the drop in pregnancies, they've seen a decrease in abortion rates and millions upon millions of Medicaid dollars saved. Klinger says the program that the CDPHE has been running hasn't been pushing the long-term contraceptives on young women, just making it cheaper and educating staff about its use. They have several clinics on the Western Slope that offer these options at a reduced price. To find one, visit beforeplay.org. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A Western Slope high school team just won the state championship, but it wasn't basketball or wrestling. It was the Montrose Winter Guard. It's the indoor version of the color guard that works all winter. It was Montrose High's first time at the state finals, and they took first place. Coach Josiah St. Peter is their coach and says that all the training they did paid off.
Well, this year we were able to practice over at Montrose Christian Church, which we're extremely thankful for, using their facility. These kids would perform from 6 to 8 in the morning, 2 to 3 times a week before school, and we added it up, and it came to right about 100 hours that they put in rehearsal time together, never mind the hours and hours that they spent individually practicing and improving their craft with that.
Their routine passed the muster of several judges. They'll be joining the high school band when marching season starts this summer. Tonight at 6 on KVNF, Paonia-based environmental magazine High Country News will host a live discussion on mega drought. KVNF's Laura Pomisano talks to High Country News Associate Editor Brian Calvert about the event.
High Country News is hosting a live discussion about mega drought on KVNF. Brian, tell me about the event.
High Country News is hosting what we're calling a sound table. It is for our students and for KVNF listeners and anyone on the Twitter sphere, I suppose. But it is to discuss mega drought and the implications of mega drought for cities, agriculture, and the environment.
And why is this a hot topic?
Well, we're seeing a lot of drought news coming out of California, obviously, but we've been in a drought in the West for a really long time, and we might actually be heading into what's called a mega drought, which is a very long, pervasive, persistent drought. And if that's the case, that has different implications for water users in cities, on farms, and for the environment.
Tell me how this event will work, and who will we be hearing from on air?
We'll be hearing from any of our listeners at KVNF. We'll also be live streaming on the KVNF website. And we're hoping to get the participation of university students across the West who are interested in natural resources or water management or the environment. And anyone can participate on Twitter by just tweeting questions to High Country News, which is at High Country News, with the hashtag HCNU, like High Country News University. The show will actually be myself hosting four guests. So we have four experts on drought. One is Pat Mulroy, who's the former water czar for Las Vegas. One is Jennifer Pitt, who's an environmental lawyer for the Environmental Defense Fund. One is Jonathan Overpeck, who's a climatologist at the University of Arizona. And another is George Frisvold, who's an agricultural economist at the University of Arizona.
That was KVNF's Laura Palmisano speaking to Brian Calvert with High Country News. Listen to KVNF tonight at 6 to hear the live discussion on mega drought. And finally, the annual Colorado budget is making its way through the State House. It cleared the Senate on a vote of 21-14, passing largely along party lines, with three Democrats joining Republicans to support it. Benta Berkland discusses the dynamics as part of our weekly Capital Conversation series.
Joining us, we have John Frank with the Denver Post and Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press. Ivan, this year we have a split joint budget committee, three Republicans and three Democrats. They've been spending months crafting the budget. Are you surprised that the breakdown was still largely partisan in the Senate?
Not really, because usually what happens every year is the party that's in the minority tries to amend the budget, introducing dozens of amendments, and most of them don't pass. What ends up happening is they feel like they were shut out of the process, which is what Democrats said repeatedly on the Senate floor. And then the majority party reminds them, like, hey, this is what we do every year. And it's not really surprising. And now it goes to the House, where Democrats are in control, and they're expected to tweak some of the things that they want to include birth control funding for, to prevent teen pregnancies by using long-acting reversible contraception. And I think you'll hear Republicans there who are in the minority also kind of decry the process of not getting their amendments onto the budget, but it doesn't really matter because it's going to go back to a conference committee and it'll all be put back the same way it was, or mostly largely the same way it was introduced, and then, you know, this is all mostly theater.
Like Ivan, I was a little surprised to see so much partisanship just based on history. In 2012, the last time we had a bipartisan JBC form the budget, it cleared both chambers with the most support it's ever had. Only six people total out of 100 lawmakers were opposed to it. So this fell quite short of that mark already, and we haven't even heard from the House yet.
I was a little surprised as well and kind of by the tenor that we were hearing from Democrats, especially because most of the Republican amendments failed as well.
And we saw that, yes. There are a number of Republican amendments that were shot down, just like the Democratic amendments. And that's kind of one of the undercurrents from the debate that was a little less noticed, but really speaks to a latent issue this session in the Senate, is how the GOP caucus is fracturing in its Tea Party side and its more moderate mainstream business Republican side. To give you a flavor, one of these amendments would have defunded the park test. This is a big cause for conservative Republicans, but you had the Senate leadership voting against their own members against it.
Thanks. That was John Frank with the Denver Post, Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. Thank you for your support of KVNF News. I'm Patricia Naft.